I was telling Bill on the way in this morning, men and women, our mothers and fathers, whether they have biological children or not. And for some of you who might question that, you say, Bill, why would you say that? Well, because if you're ministering into people's lives and you're nurturing them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that makes you a father.
Amen.
Because you care and you love. Amen? And isn't that what a father's all about? Isn't that what our Heavenly Father's all about? That's right. But I want to read something to you out of Proverbs chapter 13. Anything in Proverbs is good, but this just struck me this morning as I opened the Bible sitting up here. It says, a wise man heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Did you catch that? A man eats well by the fruit of his mouth. But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. A righteous man hates lying, but wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him, whose way is blameless, but the wicked one overthrows the sinner. There is one who makes himself rich and yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor and has great riches. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, and I love rebuke. And I don't have a problem in the world about being accountable to people. If it's from God, I'll receive it. May not like it. May hurt a little bit. May rub me the wrong way, but I'll receive it. And I'll seek God that the change happens. And if it's not, I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to put it on the shelf and pray for them and love them and let God deal with them. Amen? And that's really what it's all about, is God dealing with us. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I'm not people's conscience. I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. But I love Him today. And I acknowledge Him as my Heavenly Father, the one who created me, the one who's placed me on this earth for His purpose and plan. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want to say this morning that I'm blessed to have Lowell here.
Yeah.
Lowell has been a blessing, and he's like-minded as us. We enjoyed the fellowship with you last Sunday, going out to lunch with you. And Madonna, you too. That was really, really great. We're glad you're both here. We bless you, and as you know, here, we're not formal. You're a guest once, and after that, you're family. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Bill?
Yes, Heavenly Father, everything that we see with our eyes belongs to you.
Yes.
And just like Pastor Bill just said, our time and efforts and energies all belong to you too, Heavenly Father, and we want to return that to you as well as what you've given us financially. We ask you to bless each and every person that's here today. We ask you to bless the service and to help us to absorb what you have for us today, Heavenly Father, so that we can continue to be an instrument for you to use in this community and throughout the entire world, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. You know, I just want to say again, Bill is a faithful man, and he's been doing this for a long time, never complained, and you can tell what's in his heart by his actions and also by the words that come from his mouth. And like all of you, he's greatly appreciated, and I personally, for one, don't take him for granted at all. He's a blessing to me. He's a good friend of mine, just like y'all, and I value him just like I value you. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Be still this morning and know that He's God. You know, one of the things that we understand in the Word is that the things that God gives us and tells us in His Word are things that bring that rest and that peace to our lives. And they're there not to complicate our lives or to bring heaviness or to bring, let me back up. They're there to bring, like I said, peace and rest. They're there to enhance our life. And this morning God's given me something out of His Word. But it all comes from obedience and from doing what God wants. And if we'll do what God wants us to do, if we'll do what He tells us to do, then we will, as the Scripture says, eat the good of the land. He has blessings for us, and the blessings are in the obeying the Word. And they are real. They come to pass as we obey the Word and as we yield our lives to what He says. And today being Father's Day, we've already acknowledged and we're going to continue to acknowledge that He is our Father. And He's set things in order for the benefit, for the protection, for the richness of our life on this earth. You can be seated if you will. And this is what I really want to come out of the message that God's given me this morning. It's out of Galatians chapter 5, I believe. And we're going to pray here in a second. But, you know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want our sacrifice. He wants our obedience. And that obedience demonstrates our love for Him. Can we all agree on that? If we love Him, we obey Him. If we obey Him, it shows we love Him. We need to tell Him we love Him, but we also need to demonstrate that by obedience in what we do, what we say, and letting our lives be controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And God set in order some laws, some things that are written in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 33. And we're going to talk about those in a few minutes here, but it shows the hierarchy. And it shows the order that God has set in place. And it's for benefit. It's not for beating down. It's not for, if you will, causing servitude in a way that's unrighteous and unholy and not beneficial. But if we will obey Him, and that's what it takes. And when, as you're reading this and as we go through this, if you'll obey Him, you will bring blessings into your life. It will cause blessings in your life that you never imagined. And because of the religiousness of the church today, there's a lot of things in this passage that have been taken out of proportion and they've been misconstrued and mistaught. And this morning, with the help of God, I want to see if we can set that straight. Amen? Father, I thank You again for this day. Father, I do acknowledge You as my Heavenly Father, as our Heavenly Father. We give You honor. We give You glory this morning. We give You praise and thanksgiving. We laud You this morning, Lord. We're indebted to You. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for the work that was accomplished on Your cross, the cross that Jesus bore. But more than anything, we thank You for what was accomplished in Isaiah 53:5, where our salvation really took place. This morning, Lord, we've come to hear from You, not from me. Hide me behind the cross. Let my words fall to the ground. Let Your words stand and be sealed in the hearts of Your people. And mine also, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we give You praise and thanksgiving forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I said, you know, these are things that are not meant to put there to put people under bondage, but to set people free. And if they're done and we acknowledge them and operate in the right mind, the right mindset, the right spirit, then they're going to be blessings, not curses. Some of the words in here, I mean, just the very word brings contention and strife in some areas because it's been mistaught. People feel like they have to just be a doormat, and that's not what God's saying at all. God sent Jesus to purchase us, to redeem us back to Himself. And He set in an order so that He is the head of the Christ. Christ is the head of church and the head of man. And man is the head of woman. And I know right away, for some people get all ready. up in arms and say, yeah, you know, I'm supposed to be submitted. I'm supposed to be a servant. Well, you know what? I serve God because I love Him, not because I feel obligated. But I am obligated, and I do feel obligation. But I do it because of love. I love Him, and I know He loves me. Can we all agree? Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation." That's the New King James. The Old King James says excess, which is accurate. But the translation is, "wherein is intemperate living," or living in excess. "But be filled with the Spirit," and that's the Holy Spirit. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And that's what it's all about. And you know, one of the things that's very important in our lives, if we're going to keep the right outlook, if we're going to have the right feeling, and or not feeling, I don't think that's a good word, although that's part of it, but the right place with God, is we're going to listen and we're going to acknowledge these verses and we're going to believe them like the rest of the Word, and we're going to operate in them. And this morning, I hope this comes very clear for people, what God is really saying here. Verse 19 says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'll just say this morning, you know, we had Mother's Day recently, and now we're in Father's Day, but men, that means thanking God for the gift, for His daughter that He gave you to enhance your life, to bless you, to be one who not only is worthy to serve, but worthy to be served. Not to be beat down, not to be oppressed, but to be taken care of and loved in the same way that you love your own selves. And we'll see this in the Scriptures. Verse 21 says, "submitting to one another in the fear of God." And that verse, submitting means subordinate or subject. Subject yourselves to one another in the fear of God. There's not one person in this room that's any more or less important than anybody else. God loves you, and what He did for you, and He did it for me. And you need to remember that if you were the only one here today and the only one who had a heart for God, He would have still done it for you because He loved you that much. He created you, and the purpose He created you for was for Him, not for any other purpose. But He's given us things. You know, He gives to us the kingdom down here. He blesses us with things that enhance our lives and to give our life abundance in this life. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, I'm going to touch on this just briefly, but I'm going to really focus on the men today. This is not a browbeating. This is not a rebuke. This is telling you the joy that's set before you if you will obey and operate in this Word. And there are many of you who already are. And that's so. But this I felt would bring honor to God, and this is what I believe He gave me to tell you today. When you submit to your husbands, you're submitting to God because God set it in order. And understand that even if your husband is an absolute stinker, like Smith Wigglesworth was before he got saved, God, by your godly conduct, can change that man. And being submitted to God is being submitted in the right way and following His order of law and hierarchy, His form of government. And this is nothing more than a form of government. But it's not oppressive like some of our government today is oppressive. It's there to bring life and that more abundantly to us. Amen? "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." But what God's really saying there is, for the husband is the cornerstone. That word head means cornerstone. "Of the wife, as also Christ is the cornerstone of the church. And He is," that word Savior means deliverer and preserver. Praise the Lord. Now we're to submit to godly things, not to ungodly things. But if we keep our heart right, even in situations that are not pleasant, God will guide and direct our steps, and He will show us what His will is, and it will bring blessings that you can't imagine. If you look in verse 23, for the husband is the cornerstone of the wife, as also Christ is the cornerstone of the church. And he is the deliverer and possessor, preserver, excuse me, of the body. If you look at that in the right light, with the right heart, you see that that's a protection for a wife, just as it's a protection for the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ. He's not oppressive. He's not abusive. But his heart of love for us is that he wants the very best for us all the time. And we know that, you know, that earthly men chastise their children, but they do it because of love, especially if they're serving God. It's not because they're trying to be oppressive, but they're trying to instill the right motives, the right outlook, and to let them know that they're loved. Amen? We'll let that go. That's enough right there. Verse 24, there's, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be subject. And I wrote that word in there. That's not in your Bible. I wrote that word in there. Be subject to their own husbands. Subject, what does that mean? You're a doormat? You're a servant? You're to take all the abuse you can get? Not at all. Because a husband who's operating in the way that Jesus, and in the same love that Jesus has for the church, everything he does is for your protection, for your nurturing, for your deliverance, for your growth, and for your well-being. And if it's anything else than that, then it doesn't line up with verse 24 of Ephesians 5. It says, be subject to their own husbands in everything. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, the word subject means one who lives in the territory of and enjoys the protection of. Now, that doesn't sound negative to me at all. If I live as a man who's subjected to God and who is obedient to His bridegroom, Christ, then I live in His protection. I live in the territory, and I enjoy the protection and the blessings of not only being in that area, but also being able to hear what He has to say to me that's for my good and directs me in the right path. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's good stuff, Maynard. Then God tells us in verse 25, and He's admonishing the husbands. We need to pay close attention to this. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. The church being the bride of Christ. But that word love there means be fond of, love dearly, and be contented. I've often talked about the wife of my youth, my children's mother. She was the wife of my youth, and I was contented. The blessing of God was there. I can't control another person. I don't want to control another person. She made her choices. That's between her and God. But I still loved her, and I still cared for her. And I did the very best I knew how. Would that I had been as smart then as I am now. Or how smart as I think I am now. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word. That word sanctify means, and here's the way it really reads, that He might purify and dedicate her with the washing of the water of the Word. We're responsible for what God's given us, men. Doesn't mean the women are any less responsible, but we're responsible in the hierarchy of this passage that talks about what God, how who God is to Christ, who Christ is to the church, and who Christ is to men. And if we're walking in the same attitude, and we're walking and doing what God tells us, and as we see the Scripture open up, then what we're doing is we're doing the same thing that Jesus did for all the people that He came in contact with when He was on this earth. Amen? Healing, cleansing, forgiving. Amen? Not holding grudges. Not holding things against people. But forgiving them, delivering them. Amen? And men, that's what our role is for our wives and for our children as the head of the house, which God ordained. We didn't decide this. God ordained this. But God speaks to both parties, men and women, in the same. But this is specifically today about husbands. Verse 27, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. And when he says her there, he's referring to the church or the body as much as he is to the wife. Remember, we are the wife. Amen? As Christians, we are the wife. We are the brides of Christ. Amen? So when we look at this passage, this scripture, this is what we need to see and what we need to understand in this, that we are the bride. And once again, I'm going to say, which has been said many times, I'm not the author of it. Pastor Stan was, as far as I know, the author. You cannot become a good husband until you become a good bride to Christ. You cannot rule in the way that you need to rule. And that doesn't mean over, but rule for their protection, their safety, for their well-being, and to cause them to be that spotless bride also along with you of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. There's great benefit in that. I'm going to say it again. There's great benefit in that. Women are made to respond. And one of the biggest things that will cause them to respond in a positive way is for you to fall in love with God and that be visible, not only to her, but to everybody you come in contact with. Does that make sense? Do you agree? Hallelujah. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. For these people who are ill-taught and have religious knowledge, the way they treat their wives is mistreating a gift of God and mistreating their own bodies. Hey, it's right there. You study it for yourself. You're mistreating yourself. It's foolish. It's vanity. God loves His people so much. Everything He did was for them. So that we would be able to be that one who is in fellowship with Him without any baggage, without any blemish, without any dirt on us. Amen? And that's why He set the things in motion that He did from the time that Jesus was born to redeem us by the Father's will, until the time that Jesus took the stripes and the bruises in Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24, and then finally when the period was put at the cross and He said it's finished and God turned His back on Him because He couldn't look at sin, which Jesus became, taking yours and my sin once and for all, forever, burying it in the deepest ocean and remembering it no more and separating the sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's the gospel. Praise you, Lord. In verse 29, it says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it. Another key, what we're supposed to do with our wives, gentlemen. And cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So we're following in His footsteps. We're following His example. We're becoming in the image and likeness of Christ by obeying the Word and paying attention to this passage. Now, I want to tell you something. For you ladies who have been abused by fathers, by husbands, who have not been treated well, first of all, it's not your fault. I'm not saying that we don't have some input in what goes on, but still, you didn't deserve what you got. And God takes care of that. That's not my business. I'm not to judge. And you need to let it go if you're still hanging on to it. Let it go and let God deal with that situation. And in so doing, He could, and He probably wants to, more than you and I understand or know, turn that situation around. I'm not saying there'll be reconciliation with you, but there'll be reconciliation with Him. And at least an acknowledging, I have done wrong. And I haven't dealt well with the gift that God gave me. Ladies, you are His daughters. But remember that we are His sons also. Amen? It's a two-way street. But God holds the men accountable for what happens in the relationship. Amen? And that shouldn't be a burden. That shouldn't be something that feels like, you know, you're substandard. That should be something that lets you know that God values you and He trusts you with His Word and with the things that He's giving you, including your wife and your children. He trusts you. What it takes is surrendering your will and your thoughts and your desires to Him, walking in His truth, obeying what He says. Can you all agree on that? No one ever hated his flesh in verse 29, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And that ties in with the things we know about what God says about a man providing for his own house. A man who doesn't provide for his own house, the Bible says, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's why we do what we do. And I'm going to tell you, one thing God wants is for us to go beyond our ability and operate in His ability and the promises He gave us, like Jeremiah 29:11. He's the one who has the thoughts to prosper and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future, and to preserve us. Amen? So that means He's responsible for giving us, as He said. He is the provider. But my God shall supply all of your needs. He's the supplier of our needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have not fully grasped a hold of. I'm getting closer, thank the Lord. What it means to be able to operate in unearned income. And money's not evil, but money is necessary to do the things that are necessary on this earth to a point. What we dare not do is get caught up in money. Now I'm going to let that go. That's not part of the message. That was for free. Amen. Verse 30 says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." Now let's stop for a minute and think about what happened in the garden when God caused Adam to go to sleep and He separated not a rib but a side of man. And He took from the man the things that were necessary for the wife to be the completion of that relationship. Are you with me? Are you all following me? Okay. I just want to be sure. If we need to go over it again, we can. But that's what makes the man complete. A man without a bride, from the physical standpoint, is incomplete. That doesn't mean that God's not operating in his life if he's surrendered and sold out to Him. Brother Bill is a tremendous example. Gene, not having a husband. Madonna, same thing. It's a blessing to have a wife. It's a gift from God. But if you're not, you still have a blessing because you are the bride of Christ. And He's taking care of you in the way that He expects the husbands to do within the physical realm of their capabilities. And in the spiritual realm, to oversee that and do what's best for the others. Remembering how you spell joy, Jesus and others and then you. You come last, always. And that brings harmony and blessing into the home. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I see somebody who's in love with the Lord, I can't help but like them and I can't help but love them. It's not something I have to think about. It's something that just happens. And that's the way we need to be with Jesus, and that's the way we need to be with one another. Amen? Remember, it's Christ in us. It's the hope of glory. We can't get it by doing our own thing or doing it our way, unless our way is the way that Christ said to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 31 says, "For this reason a man shall leave." We read this in Genesis 22:24. "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother." For what reason? So that the two can become one flesh. So that there can be harmony and blessing in the home. And there can be an example set of a godly relationship that's in the right order for children and for those who see us in public in our lives. And through that, I would hope and I would pray that there is a provoking to jealousy of those around who don't operate in that same thing. Come to you and say, "Marie, man, what a blessing you've got in your husband." Vice versa. And they're jealous. They're provoked to jealousy by God to see what a godly relationship looks like. And man, I wish my relationship looked like that. I'm not excluding you, brother. Some of us have been dealt some what we consider dirty blows. But I'm not hanging on to that. I'm hanging on to the Word of God and the love of God, which has more than fulfilled my life, more than blessed me. While my flesh may still desire a relationship like that, I am fulfilled and I am content in Christ. Did you hear me? I am content in Christ. I have all that I need in Him. And if He sees fit someday to bring me another wife, one who loves God and who's sold out on Him and who loves Him more than she loves me, then I receive that openly. But if not, I'm still, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Verse 32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning concerning Christ and the church." Christ is the anointed one. I speak concerning the anointed one and the church. Because everything we've read here is an example of the way that God set up the order, and Jesus, as our brother, as our Savior, loves us. It's an everlasting love. There are no conditions to it. It's a love without any kind of reservation, hesitation, or any strings attached. Now, just like many of you, there are probably people in your life, there's people in my life that, while I love them dearly, no matter what they do or what they say, I'm going to love them, and there's nothing they can do to change that. Do you hear me? There's nothing they can do to change that. Because it's not based on what they do. It's based on the fact that they're a child and a creation of God. Hopefully they're a child of God, if they know Him. But at least they're a creation. And that's the way God sees us. Let's face it, we're all little stinkers. We can get into trouble in a heartbeat. It's like that little cat that goes and gets into things, or that dog that upsets a trash can all the time. Amen? I don't know if you can see yourself, but I can see myself. Verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular," God's putting emphasis on this, "so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband." That's not just an admonishment for wives, gentlemen. That's an admonishment from God to respect our bridegroom. And if we respect our bridegroom, we will respect our wives. And that will cause them to respect us. Remember, respect is not just given, it's earned. From the natural standpoint, we've learned that we can respect and trust God because who He is, what He's demonstrated in our lives, the fact that He called us out of darkness and saved us and loved on us and gave us promises that are in Him, yes and so be it. Yes and amen. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. We read out of Proverbs 13, but I want to read this out of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. And I want to remind you, gentlemen and ladies, you took a vow when you got married. And you placed an eternal circle on your finger, saying that you would obey. You made the commitment to obey one another, to trust one another, and to be there through good and bad, poverty and wealth, until death do you part. You made a commitment. That's a commitment God made to you. Only He fulfilled the commitment in the fact that He gave His Son to die in your place so that you didn't have to. But you could enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God and His blessings and His promises in this earth. Not just when you get in the sweet by and by, but now. Now. Today is the day of salvation. Today these things are in place. Today these things are operating in your lives. If you'll just let go and let God. And I would encourage you, if there is any animosity towards another person in your life, no matter what the circumstances are, remember that if you're looking through the eyes of Jesus, you see that that's the kind of person you were. You're remembering what kind of person you were before God got a hold of your life. And that love should well up within you and say, "God, I don't care what they did. I love them because You love them." And that is the final word. Amen? Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4. You made a vow. And that's what this talks about. It says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed." Verse 5 says, "Better not to vow than to vow a vow and not pay." Remember, your vow was not only to the person who you're related to, you're married to, but to everybody, but especially to that person. Because that's the person you're going to spend, or you should be spending, the rest of your life with. And again, circumstances sometimes don't allow that. We may have the right motives, even though somebody else doesn't. But that should not change our motives as to how we feel towards them, no matter what they do. Because love, if it's really love, is not based on what? On the physical or the way we're treated. It's based on making that decision the way Christ made the decision, the way God made the decision. He loves us, and that means now and forever. Nothing will separate you from My love. I'm with you until the end of the earth. Whether you make your bed in hell, I'm there. And He loves you even though you make the wrong decisions and you end up in hell. Now, again, we're not addressing people in this place, but you understand what I'm saying. Verse 5 says, better not to vow a vow and not pay it. Listen to this. Man, I'm telling you, this just about knocked my socks off. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error that I made that vow. I'm adding to this. I'm paraphrasing. Listen to what it says. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hands? God's not impressed with your excuses. He's impressed with your obedience. You may think you've got the best reason in the world, but will it stand up to the scrutiny of God and God's judgment? Amen? And remember that part of the reason why you're married is because you made that decision also. Amen? For those of you who have been blessed with a wonderful wife or a wonderful husband, you need to be thanking God every day. Every day. But more than that, you need to be thanking God for His Word, for His promises, and for the fact that He is in your life, a co-laborer, a co-worker. He's your high priest. He's your advocate. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And all of this is pleasing to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This, as I sat and studied it, brought some new insight to me. Opened my eyes. Gave me joy. Seeing and understanding more than I ever have before what my responsibility as a man is and what our responsibility as Christians is to our bridegroom as the bride of Christ. Amen? To respect Him, to reverence Him. We as men, we make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes we make a wrong judgment. That doesn't change how God feels about us, and it shouldn't feel the way women feel about their husbands. You can be the biggest idiot, be dead wrong every time, but the point is, Scripture talks about being pleased to dwell with the one that God's given you. And if in fact, like Smith Wigglesworth, before he knew the Lord, you're a stinker, the godly conduct of the other person may be the very thing that wins you over, like it did Smith Wigglesworth. Amen? Here was a woman who had every right. His wife had every right to be angry with him. All she wanted to do was go to church on a Wednesday night or whatever night. She took care of him. She fed him. She cleaned the house. Gave him what he needed to sit there in his chair until she got back. And he wasn't going to have any part of it. Locked her out that night. She sat there on the back porch all night long. And when she got up that next morning, she never said one ill word to him. She went straight in and fixed his favorite breakfast. And that kind of conduct is what won Smith Wigglesworth to the Lord. And that's what we need to be to one another. Not just wives. This is not a gender-specific deal. This is a co-gender, bi-gender, whatever you want to say. Whatever works. That may not be... correct English and in the English language, but you know what I'm saying. Amen? Your conduct is going to make or break everything around you. And how much you love God. Do you love Him enough to obey Him? Or you just love when things are going your way and things are really good around you? Forgetting about, again, who you are, what you were brought from, what you were saved from, and delivered from. Amen? Has this done anything for anybody? Or is this old hat? Praise the Lord. If you need prayer today for anything, whether it's in this area or any other area, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, come and let yourself get prayed for. Don't let your pride stand in the way. You know, I got no problem. You all know that. I got no problem if God's dealing with me to come up here. I want to be transparent, and I want to be accountable. So if I need to be up here, I'll be the first one to be here. And I'll tell you right now, I don't feel that I don't need prayer in this area. Just because I'm preaching it doesn't mean that I've got a handle on it. I got a better understanding, but I don't have a handle on it yet. But thanks to this message, I do want to do right. And in this house, there's no judgment. We're not judging you, but we rejoice with you, and we want to see God's best for you. That was healing she was asking for, and we already know that we walk in health, so we thank God for the manifestation of that. Amen? The pain and the symptoms gone. Return to the one who sent them. If you want to look at it in this way, it's mail fraud. He's sending us things that don't belong to us. He's misdirecting the mail. It doesn't belong to her. Hallelujah. I thought that was cute. I don't know about y'all, but... So, anybody else? Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank You that whether they come forward or not, that You see and know every need that's represented here today. And Father, You paid the price. Jesus paid the price by being obedient to You for every one of those needs to be met. Father, where a heart needs healed from anger, from bitterness, from torment, from disillusionment, Lord, I thank You that they're healed right now. I thank You Your Word is going out and touching every person within the sound of My voice. And it's setting them free right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. For the physical, Lord, I thank You that by Your stripes they were and they are healed. We are not looking to get healed, Lord. We are the healthy and the healed, hanging on to what You've given us, and we're not giving it up for any reason. Hallelujah. Father, for financial things, Lord, I thank You that You are our supplier of our needs, and You are a provider according to Your riches. I thank You, Lord, that there's provision in this house in every area, financially, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and that lives are being changed by Your Word and by adhering to and living up to Your Word, Lord, with Your help. We can't do it ourselves. In us, there's no good thing, but Lord, we can, every one of us can, because of Your strength, be strong in You. And we can do all things because of You who's in us, and Your strength prevails. We look to You, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank You that You're the one who's doing the work, and we give You all praise and all honor and all glory this morning for Your presence in our lives, the promises, and for Your revealing by the Holy Spirit. And we also thank You, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All things to us by that Holy Spirit, reminding us of Your Word, reminding us of the things that You've done, and keeping us with a right focus and a right mind on You. Bless Your people, Lord. Bless them abundantly for obedience and for serving You, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that the great reward is not only for the future, but it's for right here, Lord, for obedience to You. So I thank You for the abundant, not just mediocre or get by, but the abundant blessings on every person in this house in Jesus' name. Enhance their relationships, enhance their lives, enhance the things that they do in their daily life, and let the light of God minister and shine forth through them in ways they've never experienced or expected or thought possible in their lives. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.